Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You've heard from Bill and Gary. Now it's time to hear from the players inside the locker room. It's Green and Gold Overtime with Joe Zenzola on The Fan.
No Joe today. Joe's on vacation in beautiful Arizona, so you are stuck with me, Steve Sparky Viper, in the midnight hour. Been a long, long time since I've got to do a show at midnight, and kind of looking forward to it. Jeff Orlovsky is hanging out, too. Dan Plucker has no life, so he's here, too, I guess. Thanks for hanging out, Plucker. Gary and Bill, thanks for the pregame for this show here at midnight. If you want to jump aboard, if you're staying up late with us, I definitely want to take as many calls as we can get in between midnight and 1 a.m. If you're drunk, do not call me. But if you're sober, I'd love to hear from you on this Packers loss tonight, 37-8. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Now, I will tell you that I avoided listening to Gary and Bill. I wanted to come in with my own take. I didn't want to be persuaded by anything that Gary or Bill says, because I know that's normally how it goes on the big show. I start listening to Gary. I start listening to Leroy. Before you know it, I start getting swayed. And I didn't want to be swayed tonight. So first things first, this is what I learned tonight. I learned that this offensive line against their defensive front seven is a problem. And I don't know how it gets fixed. There are things that I wasn't seeing that Leroy Butler was saying last week that they probably would do or should do, and that is chipping, right? Helping out that right tackle or left tackle so they can be able to give Aaron Rodgers a little bit more time. There was one play, lights in the game at right tackle after Bulaga gets hurt. Jimmy Graham is next to him. Jimmy Graham is lined up against the pass rusher for the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Graham runs his route, never touches the guy, who then gets the wide take on light and gets to Rodgers. And I'm at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill. By the way, thanks to everybody that came out tonight for our football experience party out there. And I was livid. Why don't you hit the guy, chip him, give Rodgers a little bit more time, help out your right tackle, who clearly was not ready to start at right tackle or be at right tackle. We saw that. That was clear as day. He was getting pushed back all night long, getting beat. Why not help your tackles if they're struggling by chipping or doing something? Screen passes. Nope. Didn't really do much screen passes at all. Didn't really do much of that. The one thing they did do early in the game was they ran that naked bootleg with Rodgers rolling to the right. That was nice. That was something. But did they really do everything they could to slow down that pass rush and give Rodgers a little extra time? Probably not. Nope. Did Rodgers always throw to the check down? Not all the time. But if you look at 104 yards throwing on 20 completions, he had to do it somewhat. Because that's not a very big average at all. Was Rodgers on throwing the football tonight? No. Nope. Sure wasn't. Definitely wasn't on in the first half. That was clearly the case. He was not on at all. Coming in to this game, I had talked about that I thought this Packers team was probably the best team in the NFC. Wasn't really sold on the San Francisco 49ers at that point. We won. After tonight, after what I saw, I'm asking myself this question, and I'm going to ask you the same question. And I'm sure at some point the other shows will probably do it as well. Did we underrate this 49ers team, or did we overrate how good this Packers team really was at the end of the day? Because to be honest with you right now, I think we really, really underrated how good the San Francisco 49ers team is. That's where I'm at on this. Where are you? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Also, we got some audio coming in from our guy Chris, who's covering the game out in San Francisco. We'll hear from Davante Adams coming up in a little bit, and we'll try to squeeze in some Blake Martinez and Jamal Williams before 1 a.m. too. All right, to the phones we go. Mike in Kenosha, you're first up on Green and Gold OT. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sparky. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think we did underrate the 49ers a little bit. You know, all credit to them. But, you know, I'm going to ask you this. Aaron Rodgers is not playing well, okay? I realize the pass rush was ferocious tonight. I get that. But he wasn't really very good 2 weeks ago against Carolina. Nope. He was awful in Los Angeles against the Chargers. He doesn't hang in the pocket. And this crap about him not trusting receivers, which is, it's, you know, we know it's been a theme with him, right, throughout his career.
Sure. He gets his favorites.
Yeah, agreed. I'm not blaming this game on Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong, but I get a little sick and tired of Packers fans who just seem to think that he does no wrong. You have to get rid of the ball. You have to trust receivers. You cannot. Rodgers was bad tonight. There's no two ways about it. And he wasn't very good 2 weeks ago, and he wasn't very good. Statistically, he's been a middle-of-the-road quarterback in the NFC. Every statistic available, everything you look at, touchdowns, you know, yards per attempt, all the statistics that really matter, he's middle of the road right now.
And
he's not playing good football.
Okay, but they're 8-3 with him being middle of the road.
Yeah, that's true. They won some.
If he was middle of the road under Mike McCarthy, they would not be 8-3.
I don't know if I agree with that, Sparky.
You have to give credit. Some of this is to coaching. Some of this is to allowing Aaron Jones to be Aaron Jones a little bit more than they ever did under Mike McCarthy. Some of it is the defense coming up with big turnovers. Yeah. It's more of a team effort now than it's been in the past.
I would agree, but let me ask you this. What happened since the Kansas City game where it seemed like they had the running backs involved and mismatches, and I'm not going to sit here. It's really difficult to rip a guy like Davante Adams, right, an all-pro, an outstanding player, and to sit there and say they're better off without him. I don't think that's correct. But something is not right. They're not getting rid of the ball. Rodgers is leaving the pocket immediately. You know, and again, the pass rush was good by the Niners. I get that. I'm not trying to say it wasn't. But something just isn't clicking right now. And he's not playing well. And in my opinion, if you want to, you know, slice pies to the blame of this game, I would give Aaron Rodgers more of it than anybody else on the field tonight.
Yeah, okay.
That's my opinion.
All right, that's fine. And we value that opinion. Thanks for calling in. Don't be a stranger on the other shows on the Fan as well. If you want to hop aboard and vent a little bit over this Packers whooping that they took by the hands of the San Francisco 49ers. They're open for you, 414-799-1250. We're going to sit here and do it that way, like he says. There's no way Aaron Rodgers is getting that much blame from me. I'm sorry. The right side of this offensive line, we'll start from the center. From the center down, the right side of the line was atrocious. Center wasn't very good. Billy Turner was getting pushed around too. They couldn't get anything going on the ground. And the right tackle position was horrible with Light at right tackle. And again, he's not a starting right tackle. He got put in the position because Bulaga went down with an injury and didn't come back. And that was interesting to see him on the sidelines going back and forth with the trainers, because it kind of looked like to me, and again, you know, I'm not into reading lips or anything else. It looked like to me that he was maybe kind of lobbying, trying to get back in the game. And they were like, no, you're going to go to the locker room. We're going to do x-rays or whatever else. And then we'll make that final judgment. And obviously wasn't able to get himself back into the game. But the right side of that line had to play better than they did tonight, and the Niners had their lunch. That was one of the main reasons, right? One of the other main reasons, and Ryan Wood pointed it out tonight on Twitter, say, hey, Sparky and I talked about this on Friday. He said it was going to be the Packers offensive line versus their defensive line, and I said it was going to be Kittle. And I said to Ryan and Leroy and Gary and Baby Tosh, if Kittle plays, no way he's 100%, not going to have that type of an impact. And early on, he wasn't really having an impact. And then after he got that first catch, then it was on. Then it was on at that point going forward. They didn't really – and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they really did anything much different than they've done all year offensively. Well, like they had some new wrinkles that maybe they didn't see. The one area where I was truly disappointed in this coaching staff was you come off of what you did last week, and you're waiting and wanting to see, actually 2 weeks ago, waiting and wanting to see what will they do on offense that'll be a little bit different. Show the Niners something they haven't seen on tape, offensively or defensively. What a whole bunch of that from the Packers. And they even made a point of bringing it up on the broadcast of Packers going to have to learn maybe to throw in a wrinkle or two here to try and change things up a little bit and show teams something maybe they're not expecting. They even brought it up during the broadcast. You have a bye week to get ready for this. I expected something different, something better than what we saw from this Green Bay Packers team. That's where I was disappointed. I thought LaFleur, because again, it's the whole relationship with Shanahan, his brothers on the other coaching staff. You would have thought for sure whatever he had sitting on the back burner that he wanted to pull out was going to be used in this game and in the Vikings game. We were going to see something different. Not really. Wasn't a whole bunch different to me. And because your offensive line was struggling to get any type of push, you couldn't run the football. Until the game got so far out of hand that the Niners, in my opinion, kind of pulled back a little bit. Then you started to see Aaron Jones get a little bit of running room and so forth. But to that point, not at all. So do you think this Packers team was, maybe we were overrating them coming in, or was it just simply we underrated the Niners? And I completely underrated the Niners. And when you start talking about where this team is, I don't know how they beat them if they see them in the playoffs, folks. I don't know how they beat them. I don't know what's going to change schematically or otherwise to fix the issue. Even if Bulaga is fine and he plays right tackle, I still don't think that's enough. I just don't. They got mauled and manhandled up front. That's a problem, right? You had receivers that clearly must not have been getting open, or Rodgers was holding on to the ball too long, one or the other. But they seemed to do a pretty good job containing the wide receiving core for the Packers. You couldn't run the football because your offensive line couldn't get off the ball. And on the defensive side of the football, you didn't even have to worry about Matt Breida at running back. You didn't even have to worry about him. He's going to be back for the playoffs. So now you add him into whatever else they have at running back for the San Francisco 49ers to go along with what they're developing at wide receiver. And then, of course, Kittle at tight end, who looked completely fine to me. Maybe he's not, but he looked fine to me against this Packers defense. Looked pretty healthy. Got him running 10 yards away. Play action pass. Killed the Packers. Killed them. Can't wait to hear what LaRoy has to say, because I'm guessing, my guess is LaRoy Butler, tomorrow morning at Chuck and Winkler, 7 a.m., or actually this morning now, I guess, at 7 a.m., he'll be out at Chuck and Winkler. My guess is he's going to talk about discipline, 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 and that secondary going against play action pass. My guess. And then he'll come on the Wendy's Big Show from 2 to 6, and I bet you that's what we're talking about again of why they were getting killed on play action pass. Very frustrating. All right, another call here. Kurt in Superior, Wisconsin, joining us now here on The Fan. What's up, Kurt?
Sparky, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm going to kind of agree a bit with the last caller about A-Rod, how a lot of this is on him, I think this game in particular. And the Charger game. Basically, the guy won't throw the football unless somebody's wide open. And if that means dancing around in the pocket till someone gets wide open, specifically Davante Adams as of late, he's not going to trust his other receivers. We have three undrafted receivers getting a lot of play on our football team. And I bet you, I'm just taking a wing at this, but I'm guessing that there's probably not another team in the league that has three undrafted free agent wide receivers on their roster. The tight end position gives us nothing. Hasn't given us anything all year. Mercedes Lewis can block, but Graham's been a bust. He's probably one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. And then talking about tight ends, why is it that our defense just gets carved up by tight ends?
The tight end thing has been a problem for the Packers going all the way back to McCarthy and Capers. I feel like we talk about it every year, no matter who the coaching staff is, no matter who's the personnel on the defensive side of the ball.
It's the middle of the field that we leave wide open. Yep. And for some reason, we can't do the same thing. Everything we do is outside, 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 nothing to the middle, no more quick slants, no more screen passes. I know you're a huge Aaron Jones fan, and so am I. I listened to you, in the afternoon, and I agree with you 100%. Once again tonight, multiple times Williams came in and did absolutely nothing. The offense, I know we had a big advantage in time of possession, so we were out there quite a bit, but, you know, you just got to keep giving the ball to Aaron Jones, whether it's a screen pass or line him up outside, hand the ball off. The running game wasn't working, but the guy needs his touches. And once again, we went to Williams, who gave us nothing. I think LaFleur got out-coached big time. He admitted it in his postgame. He looked lost at times. He didn't challenge a Jimmy Graham catch. And a lot of people say, well, New York wouldn't have overturned it. But we were grasping at that point. We needed something. And you know, going back to Rodgers, I made this point earlier. You probably saw it on TV, the stat that when he has a free play because someone jumps off sides, he's 33 of 33 in his career for 900 and some yards and 14 touchdowns.
He takes the deep shot 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, he takes it. But he won't force one to anybody else if there's not a penalty. You know, you got to trust these guys. They're your receivers. It's what you have. You know, Lazard is 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", big hops. Throw him the damn ball.
I think part of this is mentality where, you know, he came behind Favre, threw all those interceptions, and I'll be damned if I'm going to throw interceptions like Brett Favre. So he's going to take the safe play because, again, at the end of the day, he wants to be one of the guys with the least amount of interceptions as starting quarterback in this league for the amount of games he's going to play. So he's not going to take as many chances. That's just not who that dude is. And I think part of it is a mentality. And he just doesn't have that, as you want to say, gunslinger mentality of a Romo or a Favre, those guys. But those guys, yes, they made plays, but they also cost themselves games by having that mentality.
They did. And I agree with that 100%. You know, he's got by far the best touchdown-interception ratio in league history, and he's going to go down as the best ever to do that. Is his ego getting in the way to where this is almost tough to say. Is he more worried about throwing a pick and his statistics than he is winning a football game at times? I mean, that sounds crazy, but sometimes he just won't throw the damn ball.
Yep.
And I don't know, the way J.K. Scott was punting tonight, you know, throw a 30-yard ball, and if he gets picked off, you're no worse for wear.
I don't know what's happened to that dude since the beginning of the year. That's a whole nother mystery to me. Thanks for the call. I really don't know what's happened to him. I don't. It wasn't like he was playing in snow tonight where maybe it was weather. Because I was speculating, what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago with Gary LeRoy, that maybe the cold weather is just bothering him. I mean, he punted in it last year too. I don't know. That was not a great night for Scott. This whole thing with Rodgers and not taking chances and all that stuff. Guys, look. You're taught most of the time, right? Better to take a sack and live to play another down than throw an interception. That's what coaches are going to tell you. Now, most guys will play hero ball and still try and throw that ball between two defenders or three defenders if you're certain quarterbacks. Most guys don't listen to that. Aaron Rodgers takes it to heart. He lives it, and he breathes it. And he's not going to throw a dumb pass to make you happy that he's trying to make that hero throw at the end of the day. He was throwing some balls down the sidelines with guys running down the sidelines. Weren't close. But he was throwing some. You were getting some of that. But no, you're absolutely right. He's not throwing in a double and triple coverage. That's not who this dude is. And that's not going to change regardless of what the Packers' record is or who the Packers' opponent is or who his wide receivers are. If Devontae Adams is double covered, he's not throwing him a jump ball between two DBs. No chance. Not happening. All right, let's go to Mike in Greenfield. You're next on Green and Gold OT here on The Fan. What's up, Mike?
Oh, not Mike Sparky. So good to talk to you. I'll try not to get all amped up. Yeah, the callers tonight all had it right. Roger, but my thought is, I think LaFleur, he's a smart guy, and he wants to keep Rodgers happy, but I think he's given him some rope to kind of let Rodgers do what he wanted, and it's not working. And I think LaFleur is going to tighten the reins and show him, look, I'm hoping.
No, I don't.
Get rid of the ball, and hey, just try just go with what we want to do, because yeah, he's holding the ball too long, and he's passing up all kinds of guys that are open.
You can see that either at least talking on the sidelines and all that stuff is good. There was a fourth down, I think it was one play. Jones gets absolutely stonewalled on a handoff, and you could see Rodgers glare at the sidelines like, that's what you wanted to run. We ran it, and do you see what happened? That's the type of stuff that you can see that look on Aaron's face and think to yourself, he's thinking right there of, I didn't want to run that play. I ran it because you wanted me to, and it didn't work like I thought it wasn't going to work.
Right. LaFleur's a new coach. He's a young coach. He's going to have some growing pains. You know, Bart Starr, when they finally let him go, he was just becoming a good coach. Even Bart Starr, it took him time to learn. LaFleur is going to learn, and probably the hard way. And they got off to a good start, but, you know, they're going to have these pains. But they found out what a real good football team is. Last thought is, what happened to them today is what happened to them in the second Super Bowl with Favre. The Denver Broncos schemes specifically for the Green Bay Packers and beat them handily. And that's what they did tonight. The 49ers schemed for the Packers and took advantage of every weakness they had.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the night. Listen, they got a couple of garbage teams coming up on their schedule, right? You got the Giants, you got the Redskins, and then you got Trubisky and the Bears. So, and that's all ahead of before you get to the Vikings on Monday Night Football towards the end of the season. You're going to get these next three wins. You're going to be feeling really good about yourself again. You'll be sitting there at 11-3, feeling good. And then your next and really only big test is probably going to be the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football, because you got the Lions at the end. They're garbage. That's it. That's all you got. You got one more big game. That's all you have. Pluckers over there laughing at me. You can't even argue. They're horrible. Horrible. They lost to a bad football team again today. They're just a bad football team. So this Packers team is going to be in the playoffs. Maybe they're not having home field advantage. Now, they probably blew that. So they're going to have to play in the divisional round. Actually, have to play in the wild card round. And that's crazy because they're going to have a great record. But the Saints and Seahawks don't look like they're losing anytime soon. So they're going to be there. San Francisco does have a tough schedule. So maybe they drop a couple and maybe they fall behind you. But now you don't even have the tiebreaker with the Niners. So you really put yourself in a situation now where you're going to have to travel for that NFC Championship game if you get to that point, which is not going to be fun. 37-8, the Niners over the Packers. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Having fun, lots of fun. Still to come, Devontae Adams. And I don't think he's very pleased about the personal foul flag that he got at the beginning of the game. So we'll hear from him coming up on a Green and Gold OT on The Fan.
Bro, take it as a learning experience. And at the end of the day, everything is valuable, whether positively or negatively. It can either negatively impact you as a player, you as a man, and your career, or you can use it positively to learn from your mistakes, grow, and take them as learning lessons.
There he is, David Bakhtiari, talking about the learning lessons of Mr. Light at right tackle. And we will talk with David Bakhtiari like we do every Tuesday on the Wendy's Big Show at 4:35 coming up on Tuesday. I guess that would technically be tomorrow since it's 12:26 in the morning. So we'll have David Bakhtiari on 4:35 on Tuesday. Tell your friends, tell your family members, tell everybody. Tune in to the Wendy's Big Show. And then, of course, this morning at 7 a.m., Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler will join Chuck and Winkler. And it's Bill Michaels' statewide show from 10 to 2. And then, of course, the Wendy's Big Show, Gary Ellerson, who you just heard. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, Baby Tausch, and myself coming up this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We're going to hear from Devontae Adams momentarily. Sneak one more in here. Charlie in New Berlin, you're next on Green and Gold OT on The Fan. What's up?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I think the Packers are overrated. I'm not sure if LaFleur is the coach of the future for this team. And on their defense, Lancaster, Lowry, and Fackrell are just terrible on defense. I don't think those guys could even be the second string players on half the teams in the NFL. And that's their problem because there's no rush there, and those guys are getting pushed out of the way all the time.
Well, they're not getting rid of – thanks for the call. They're not going to be getting rid of Lowry. They just paid that man. He's not going anywhere. Lancaster, maybe. Lancaster, I don't know. He's effort guy, whatever. I showed you a little something from time to time last year. Lowry showed you more last year than he's obviously shown you this year. But, yeah, I don't see Lowry going anywhere. Lancaster, yeah, maybe. Maybe they change it for Lancaster next year and make a move there. I got some tweets coming in. This one comes in from Ian, who says, tweeting at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Green Bay could literally have thrown darts at the draft board over the past 5 years and ended up with a better team than they have now. It's absurd how poorly they've drafted, considering how much they value their picks. Wayne tweets at the Fan, Kevin King was a first-round pick, second round, but technically the Packers' first-round pick. He looked awful. His technique was atrocious. His hips were all over the place. That's from Wayne tweeting at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Now, Kevin King has been an ongoing thing with us on the big show. I'm not as sold on Kevin King being a lockdown cornerback and all this other stuff as much as, say, Gary and Leroy are, that Kevin King could be something one day. I'm just not there. Does he have size? Yes, he does have size. But I'm just not there on Kevin King. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe he'll end up being as good as others think, because I'm definitely on an island as far as I think I'm on an island as far as Kevin King maybe not being that future Pro Bowl cornerback, or at least among the experts. I'm kind of by myself. So we'll see. We'll see what works out. But again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that even though they gave up a ton of points, and I realize that's an issue, your offense just has to do more than they did. They just do. And the defense early on, was they were getting down there, and they're giving up field goals. I mean, at halftime, they should have been down more than, 13-0 or whatever? They should have been down way more than 13-0 at halftime. That defense, you know, bend, don't break, plus that first possession that Rodgers fumbled, that put him in a horrible position right from the jump, and now you're down 7-0 on a turnover by Rodgers. Defense played more than good enough for a majority of this game before it got away from them. To have this Packers team in a football game, if their offense had just done anything at all, and they were just completely shut down and taken care of. Davante Adams tonight, he had 12 targets. 12. He had 7 catches, 43 yards, and scored a touchdown. I was 23-0 at half. Sorry. Thank you, Jeff Orlowski. 7 catches, 43 yards, 1 touchdown, 12 targets. Next up, Jamal Williams, 8 targets. And then, huge drop-off. 4 for Allison, 2 for Tonyan, 2 for Graham, 3 for MVS, who has 1 catch for 7 yards. That dude has had a miserable year this year. Everybody thought he was going to be that breakout star opposite Davante Adams, and you have gotten absolutely zilch out of him. Alan Lazard pretty much held in check with only 2 targets tonight. Aaron Jones had 1 target the entire night, and that's a weapon you should be using out of the backfield at running back. And they tried running him and splitting him out wide at least once that I saw in the game. But again, it's just, I don't know. It's very frustrating, I think, as a fan watching this. So Davante Adams talked after the game, and I'm sure the personal foul flag that came up earlier in the game when he went up and kind of chest-bumped the DB after the play that drew a flag is probably on Davante Adams' mind. Yeah, sure, no doubt. You don't want to be in 3rd and 10. That was early on in the game. I'm over at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, and I got DJ Newstyles, who's one of the Bucks DJs who does all of our parties for us down there and plays the music and all that stuff. I looked at him at 3rd and 10. I said, this is not how you want to start if you're the Packers. You do not want to be 3rd and 10. You want to be able to run the ball and get some momentum, just like any other NFL team. It's not just the Packers, right? You want to put yourself in a position where you're 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, somewhere in that area where it can be a run or a pass. You start getting into 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12. What was the one today? 3rd and 35 or something atrocious like that. Yeah, you start putting yourself in those positions, it makes things a lot more difficult when everybody and their mama knows you got to throw that football. And that's the issue. Like I said earlier, I'm just disappointed with this coaching staff. I just thought that because of the relationships between the two coaching staffs, the personal relationships, I thought LaFleur was going to come out a bag of stuff that we really hadn't seen before. It was going to show him a bunch of stuff that Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the Niners, wasn't going to be ready for. I didn't get that. Surely didn't. And I thought the offensive line would come out ready for the challenge of what was coming for them from the San Francisco 49ers. And I'm not going to sit here and say they weren't up for it. I'm just going to say I just don't think the right side of the offensive line is all that good to be able to deal with this. They very well may have been up for it. Just not that good. We got Alex Light here. Mike Clemens says is good. We should probably play him back, the right tackle. But I want to hear from Blake Martinez before we do that. So we'll hear from Blake Martinez. Coming up next, it's Green and Gold OT. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you here on The Fan.
As a team, we're close to where we want to be, but we're far at the same time. You kind of get what I'm saying? Like, we're not far from where we want to be, but we got a lot of work to put in to be the team we want to be and to be, you know, to leave a mark. Like, we want to leave a mark as a team.
There's Preston Smith after the Packers get annihilated by the San Francisco 49ers tonight. 37-8, falling now to 8-3, probably kissing goodbye to home field in the playoffs like you wanted to have. Probably going to cost themselves a bye as well. See, this is the thing for me as you're listening to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here on Green and Gold OT is I'm seeing people tweeting in things like this. Too big to bunt, tweets at the Fan. Green Bay won't be back in San Fran. Won't be back in San Fran this season. They'll be a sixth seed and lose in many in 6 weeks at best. At worst, outside watching Rams pass them at number six. Folks, they're at the Giants. That's 9. Home against Washington. That's 10. Home against Chicago. That's 11. Say they lose to Minnesota, then at Detroit. That's 12-4. 12-4. Now, if you take that and then say, okay, let's look at the standings currently, how it currently sits after this game, and you want to look at the playoff standings if it were to start today, right? If it were to start today, San Francisco would be the 1 seed, 10-1. The Saints would be the 2 seed at 9-2. Then the Packers are the 3 at 8-3. Then the Cowboys, because they're winning their division, would be 6-5, the 4. Then the Seahawks 9-2, the Vikings 8-3, Rams outside looking in at 7 at 6-4. Cowboys clearly going to be the worst team in the playoffs, and that's a team that a lot of people picked to go win the Super Bowl before the season started. They were the team that was supposedly going to represent the NFC and have fallen on hard times. But that is a very talented football team with a not-so-good coach. That's just what it is. Carl and Tosa, you're next in Green and Gold OT here on The Fan. What's up?
Okay, I have a combo plate here. The thing that was the answer for what happened this evening was when Davante Adams got, I think it was a 21-yard pass, and then he chest-bumped the corner. That was the ripple effect of everything falling off from there. But keep in mind, Devontae is Ace Boone Coon, the number one guy. And then the combo plate is this. The coach needs to tell the Green Bay Packers when they make a play or when they do something semi-spectacular, they need to go back to the huddle or go to the sideline. Stop posing till closing and all that stuff. Davante Adams, he knows he should not have chest bumped that guy. The coach needs to tell the players when you make a play or you do something in particular, get your butt back to the sideline or to the huddle instead of all of this showboating. But what Davante did was totally unnecessary. And that's my favorite player, one of my favorite players on the Packers.
Yeah.
But he went and chest bumped that guy for absolutely no reason whatsoever. He even admitted that it was a college thing. And okay, that's all fine and dandy. When you make a pass like that, when you catch a pass like that, go back to the huddle.
Right.
Act like you did it before.
Yep.
Because what he did is he started a ripple effect of everything going downhill. Because they would have been like at the 35 or 40-yard line after that play. But instead, they ended up being at the 10-yard line. And it went downhill from there.
Yep, sure
Trust
did.
Me, I know this sounds elementary, but stop and look. You guys need to stop with all of this Giannis Antetokounmpo posing and muscling and mean mugging. Go back to the huddle.
Yeah,
go back to the sideline.
I don't necessarily agree with you or disagree with you on what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Carl. Appreciate it. I don't necessarily disagree about get yourself back to the huddle, because what's happening is they're taking forever to get either the play into the huddle or to tell everybody what the play is inside the huddle, and you're leaving yourself almost no time when you get to the line of scrimmage. And I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, that when Matt LaFleur got the job and we talked about what this offense was going to look like and how it was going to go, Rodgers was going to have all this time at the line of scrimmage. It's going to free up so much time because everything was going to be quick. We're going to get the call in quick. You're going to get to the line of scrimmage quick. And we're going to give ourselves time to make any adjustments we may need to make. Nope. Then it's, well, we're going to put this wrist thing on his arm and stuff, so it'll make it quicker. So now LaFleur can just give him a couple numbers, whatever. He looks, knows what the play call is. Boom. Makes a play call in the huddle. We run up the line of scrimmage. And now we got a bunch of extra time. Oh, no. Still not working. So they got to figure that out. I mean, they just do. They have to figure that out. All right, we're going to hear from Blake Martinez now here on Green and Gold OT. And he had a nice play or so. If you look at the defensive stats from tonight for Blake Martinez, that's something else that we've talked about in the past, tackles, right? How big of a deal are tackles as far as NFL stats go? And if you talk to a lot of these guys that cover the NFL, they tell you tackles can be kind of an overrated deal. But Martinez tonight, 6 tackles on the night for him, and did have one quarterback hit and one tackle for loss. Here's Blake Martinez after the Packers lost 37-8. Okay, Blake, today wasn't your true self. Fine. Then tell me how this changes. Because that's what I'm asking Gary and Leroy tomorrow. I got 2 former Packer players on the big show. That's what I want to know. How is this going to change? How are they going to defend Kittle? Because that was a question going in, and they didn't do it. What changes on play action pass that they don't get torched again? How do they slow down the run better? And more importantly, who's playing the right side of the offensive line to try and fix all of those issues getting manhandled on that side of the line, which pretty much made Rodgers uncomfortable all night and disallowed their running game to really get going most of the night? Those are all issues that have to be addressed. And you can say, well, we were off tonight. Okay, you were off in the Chargers game. That was clear as day. Whatever happened, happened. This year, I don't think there's anything more than they're a much better football team than you. And I just don't know how much you really can do to fix that issue between now and then. Now, between this year and next year, you got a draft clash, you get some free agents. Sure, new ballgame. Then we can have that discussion next year as far as have they closed the gap. But right now, if this Niners team, who's been hurt most of the year, if they're even kind of healthy, plus you get Breida back, and D Ford didn't play for the Niners because he was out hurt, they're signing from the Kansas City Chiefs, you got another pass rusher? I don't see it. Like I said before when we started the show, I clearly underrated the 49ers against this Packers team. And probably overrated the Packers too. This was not a good look for the Green Bay Packers. They lose 37-8. We'll come back. We'll hear from right tackle Alex Leite, who replaced Brian Bulaga, who left the game injured. We'll hear from him coming up next. Green and Gold OT here on The Fan.
At this point, we just got to watch this game, get better from it, and continue on with our season. At the end of the day, it's only one game. There's so much put into this one game because it's 2 top seeds who are playing. But at the end of the day, it's one game. We got to continue and take care of business these next weeks, starting off, obviously, with the Giants.
Tremont Williams, after the Packers get annihilated by the San Francisco 49ers, 37-8. Packers now 8-3, 3-2 on the road this year. 10-1 now are the San Francisco 49ers, 5-1 at home. Aaron Rodgers, 20 of 33 for 104 yards and a touchdown. I will say the one blessing in this whole deal, Timmy Boyle got to play a little bit at the end, last 3 minutes or so of the game. I mean, you could say, who cares? But to me, that's game experience that those people that played behind Brett Favre didn't get that much of. So you get a little time here to play in a blowout. All of that experience is a big deal. Regular season, preseason, two different things. Could play a little bit there at the end of a blowout. I think it's good stuff for Tim Boyle and a little bit of a learning experience too. All right, Alex Light talked to you after the game. He was the guy that came in at right tackle to replace Brian Bulaga and did not play all that well. We heard from David Bakhtiari a little bit earlier about his learning experience, and he'll just have to grow from it. And we'll hear from David Bakhtiari on Tuesday at 4:35. Right now, Alex Light of your Green Bay Packers. Poor Gary Ellerson. Poor Gary Ellerson. We're listening to Alex Light there talk about his struggles. Gary Ellerson just tweeted, "I can't sleep. Should have just did the overtime show with Sparky on the Fan. Just pissed off." Is one Gary Ellerson. See, I don't think I'm mad. In fact, I know I'm not. I'm more disappointed by how this whole thing shook out than anything else. Like, I'm disappointed that they were beat so soundly on the offensive line. I'm disappointed that after 2 weeks, you couldn't be better prepared for Kittle at tight end as he annihilated you. I'm disappointed that this coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball to a certain degree had 2 weeks to prepare for this game and got embarrassed. That's what I'm disappointed by. I'm disappointed by Leroy Butler sitting here last week and telling me and everybody else listening to the Wendy's Big Show that they're going to chip and they're going to do all this stuff to slow down this protection, the protection possible issues against the Niners. I didn't see much. Now, they'll come in here tomorrow, him and Gary, and I'm sure they'll tell me what they did do that I missed because, again, I'm running around the neck with my head chopped off doing trivia questions and everything else. But when I was watching, when I was up there looking at the screen, I didn't see much. I really didn't. And that's got to change, folks. Yeah, you can beat the Giants. Yeah, you can beat the Redskins and the crappy Bears. You can beat all those teams. But when you got to face the Vikings, the Saints, the Seahawks, the Niners, what then? How then are you going to slow them down so your quarterback doesn't get killed? What is Aaron Rodgers going to do to help his offensive line so he doesn't get killed? What's going to change? Something's going to have to change. Because if this is their game plan in the playoffs, they're going to get annihilated again. That's Jeff Orlowski producing. I'm Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Enjoy the rest of your night. CBS Sports Radio up next. It's been Green and Gold OT. Packers lose 37-8. Chuck and Winkler at 6. Chuck and Winkler pregame show at 5 with Ryan Horvath. Tune in at 5 a.m. if you're up in 4 hours. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.